This morning, you are going to be thrilled to hear from Dr. Mitch Glazer. Some of you that have been around a few more years may have remembered him before and can already anticipate what lies ahead for us. He comes from New York City, and Dr. Glazer has been involved in the ministry of Chosen People Ministries for more than 30 years, working. He's had time in his life where he's worked with other messianic missions, such as Jews for Jesus and Aerial Ministries. But it's for just over the last 10 years that he served as president and CEO of Chosen People Ministries, which is one of the largest messianic missions in the United States. For those of you that will find yourself more interested in the work of Chosen People, after hearing from Dr. Glazer this morning, he and Ryan, who is traveling with him, will be in the gray room over the lunch period. And so if you'll kind of gravitate there towards one of those back tables in the gray room, you can meet with them and find out more about their ministry. Dr. Glazer holds a Master of Divinity degree from Talbot Theological Seminary, and he also holds a PhD in Intercultural Studies from Fuller Theological Seminary in their School of World Mission. He is a musician, a composer, and a gifted teacher. He is married to Zahava. That really pushes my Hebrew there. And they have two daughters, Miriam and Jenny. And so even as he comes to speak, he's going to begin by leading us in more singing. So if you would welcome him as he comes to the piano this morning.
Shalom. Are your Hebrews good? Thank you. You want to learn Hebrew before Jesus comes back because he doesn't speak English. The music was beautiful and wonderful, but there was nothing in a minor key. Jewish people are the only people who can be happy in a minor key. And so from Isaiah 55, we're going to sing at least one song, and we'll see how you do. It's called Trees of the Field. How many of you know it? All right, good. So sing loud. You got it. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. While you go out with joy, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands while you go out with. Good. You did so well. Don't show the next slide. I'm going to teach you a new song. And I just know you're going to do so well with this. It's just three little words, okay? Three little Hebrew words. Heyvenu shalom aleichem, okay? So try it with me. Heyvenu. Shalom. It's a tough one. Aleichem. Some of you got it right because the person in front of you jumped. It means we bring peace to you. And Jesus is Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. So this is a traditional Jewish folk song that you can sing in Israel or to your Jewish friends, and they'll all know what you're singing, but and ask you questions. But I think as believers, this is a wonderful song to sing because we have the mandate to bring the Prince of Peace to the world, don't we? And so goes like this. Heyvenu shalom alechem. Heyvenu shalom.
Try it.
It's fun. Lechem. Heyvenu shalom alechem. Heyvenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Now listen, this is kind of a Methodist school, and the people dancing in the back, would you please sit down? This is... Thank you. Heyvenu shalom alechem. Heyvenu shalom alechem. Heyvenu shalom alechem. Heyvenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Heyvenu shalom alechem. Heyvenu shalom alechem. Heyvenu shalom alechem. Heyvenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Hey! You didn't get that part. Hold on. You want to try one more time? Shalom alechem. Okay, good. Sorry, I don't mean to be disruptive, but just... It's wonderful to be back at Asbury. Brought Ryan with me, Ryan Wave or something. Ryan is a Jewish believer who's doing a youth and a young adult ministry in New York City. And so Ryan's involved with our short-term mission teams. A lot of you, most of you should have received this booklet. This describes all of the short-term mission opportunities that we have with Chosen People Ministries. And then the You Can Make a Difference brochure I'll introduce you to in a moment. But this one describes some great opportunities we have in foreign countries like New York and Israel. How many of you would like to go to Israel? Okay, we bring young people to Israel every year. Sometimes they don't come back, but I don't know what it is, but... So in this wonderful brochure, read through it, and you'll see that there are some life-changing opportunities to go to Israel, share the gospel, and be persecuted. Could you think of a better way to spend the summer? I mean, to me, it's great. But seriously, God's doing a wonderful work, actually, right now in Israel. And if you ask me, where is the most dynamic, growing, messianic movement in the entire world, I would love to tell you that it's in New York City, but I can tell you now it's in Israel. And we've seen the church triple in the last 10 or 15 years in Israel. Now, that's still not a lot, but it's more than 100. No, it's about 10 to 15,000 believers. And so the Lord's doing a wonderful, wonderful thing in Israel, and I sure hope that some of you will be able to participate in some of our short-term mission opportunities. This morning, I'd like you to open your Bibles to the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans, the 11th chapter, and we'll be looking at the words of the great Rabbi Shaul. You've heard of him? Yeah. I was a believer for about a year before I found out that the Apostle Paul was a rabbi. And so the Apostle Paul is really Rabbi Shaul. And because I always heard that his name was Saint Paul, and saint never seemed like a real Jewish name. Now, in Romans 9, 10, and 11, the apostle bears his heart and burden for his own people. And I believe that Romans 9, 10, and 11 is critical to understanding the book of Romans. And in chapters 9 and 10, he talks about the great need to bring the gospel to the Jewish people. And then in Romans chapter 11, he kind of zeroes in not only on the past but on the future hope of the Jewish people, that one day the whole world will be populated with lots of Jewish people who believe in Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, of course, being a former persecutor of Jewish believers himself, understood that the gospel didn't exactly go over big time among the Jewish people in the first century. But he did say, don't lose hope. There's a remnant in every age, and one day the gospel will sweep through the Jewish people even more than is happening today in Israel. And there will be lots of Jewish people who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And then all of our church music will be in a minor key. But I just want to have you look at verse 11 just for a moment, if you would. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. This is basically a one-point sermon. Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, Rav Shaul writes, they, the Jewish people, did not stumble so as to fall. And that word, construction in the Greek, is to fall permanently. So the Jewish people who rejected Jesus didn't somehow stumble out of God's plan permanently. In other words, the chosen people didn't get unchosen because the majority of Jewish people did not become believers in Jesus. Paul says, may it never be. He's a good rabbi. He answers his own questions, which growing up in a Jewish home, I can tell you, is quite common. And then he adds, but, in fact, by their transgression, by the national rejection of Jesus in the first century by the Jewish leaders, by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, I just want to see if this is true in Wilmore. So how many of you are Gentiles here this morning? Raise your hands. Look at that. Isn't that wonderful? Welcome. It's good to see Gentiles are finally believing in Jesus. I think it's just wonderful. It's really great. Although you're kind of wild olive branches, but it's good. You're here. So salvation has come to the Gentiles. So the salvation has come to y'all, which is what we say in New York all the time. So salvation has come to the Gentiles, but Paul doesn't end there. He then continues and adds, to make them, which means us, the Jewish people, jealous. So God is now intending to use you as Gentile believers to make Jewish people jealous because you know the Jewish Messiah and some Jewish people do not, because the Messiah came for the Jews and the Jews didn't believe in him. The Gentiles got in on it, and now you're supposed to make the Jews want what you have. So Jewish evangelism is for Gentiles. Now, that's not the way I would have worked it out, because we believe in missionary contextualization, a big word, but you all have intercultural studies and so on. Our intention is to try and get the gospel as close to the groups that we want to reach in culture, in language, in proximity. We're supposed to take away all other offenses except the offense of the cross, the true offense of the cross, so that people can make clear-cut decisions as to whether or not they want to follow Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? And so it would make sense that we embody Jesus, so to speak, in a Jewish way, so that Jewish people will not stumble because it seems so un-Jewish, but rather because they may not agree that he's the Messiah, or they may disagree with the message. And so I would do it that way, but God had another idea, and he decided that it would be better to have Gentiles reach Jews. And I can't imagine that all the Gentiles who are going to reach Jews are all going to learn Hebrew or Yiddish or know how to tell a good Jewish joke, you know, or things like that. Or like matzo ball soup. Some of you like matzo ball soup. Chopped liver. All right, there we go. Okay. Herring and cream sauce. Okay. All right, we've crossed the line. Good. So you can see, God wants to use you in all of your Gentileness to reach Jewish people and make them jealous with the Jew who lives in your heart. Now, does it work? Does it work? We've taken some surveys of thousands of Jewish believers and found out that about 90% of the Jewish people who believe in Jesus came to faith through the witness of a Gentile. So it's true. It works. Now, it almost worked in my life, but not quite exactly. So I want to share with you how I came to faith. It all began with my being born the first time. And I was born and raised in the Holy Land, Brooklyn, New York. My mother was from an ultra-Orthodox Jewish home. My father was from a more secular, kind of a socialist Eastern European Jewish home. And so it was kind of a mixed marriage. And when it came time for me to be raised and go to synagogue and get bar mitzvah, everybody know what a bar mitzvah is? Okay, big Jewish party for a 13-year-old guy who spends all his money, right? Yeah. Supposed to save it for college. So I was supposed to be trained for my bar mitzvah, which means son of the commandments, when a 13-year-old male actually takes his place as an adult male in Israel, even if his voice is still squeaky. And so I was bar mitzvahed in a very Orthodox synagogue, and my home was kosher, which meant we didn't eat barbecue. And then, after a number of years, I wish I could tell you I really had faith in God. I'm not so sure I did. I knew it, but I'm not so sure I believed it. And then eventually I did what every other Jewish kid did at 14, and that is bolt. And so we became less and less religious. My parents at 15 and a half kidnapped me and moved me to New Jersey. Anybody here from New Jersey? So you know what I mean. Do you know there were no subways in New Jersey? How do you get around? Anyway, so they kidnapped me to New Jersey. I immediately fell into deep boredom. And I began getting involved in things I shouldn't get involved with. And so I started doing drugs. And I'm kind of an enthusiast. And so I couldn't just do the drugs. I had to sell the drugs. And, you know, I was making a good living at 16, actually. Hey, it was better than a paper route at the time. And so, it's not a good thing. I'm just kidding. And so I went from being sort of smart, nice Jewish boy to dumb, bad Jewish boy. And so I applied for college, got into the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut, went to the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut, and I majored actually in unregistered pharmacy. With a minor in business. And I lasted about a semester. And then myself and my good friend Ephraim Goldstein, his Jewish name, Ephraim and I heard the call of Horace Greeley, who of course said, "Go west, young man." And so this was 1969, 1970. All of you remember those years from your history books. And so Ephraim and I traveled out to San Francisco, the land of fruits and nuts. There's nobody from California here, is there? Anyway, so I continued my career in California, was quite successful, and built a houseboat in Sausalito, if you know where that is, with my friends. It's basically a shack on barrels. Got condemned by the building inspector. I think we were the only houseboat that came out on a motorboat and condemned us. The nerve of him. He was asking for plans. Can you imagine? We were artists. And so we ripped down the houseboat, moved into San Francisco, and I was forced to get employed. And so I got a job teaching outdoor education for the Marin County Board of Education, which meant I was a camp counselor for urban kids who came out to the Redwood Forest to learn about the woods, which I knew nothing about. But I had been a camp counselor at Jewish camps, so I knew how to be a camp counselor. And so about that time, as I was coming back and forth from San Francisco and working about 60 miles south of San Francisco, about that time, one of our other friends, a young lady from college who dropped out after us, came to see how we were doing, whether or not we found the answers to life and so on in San Francisco. And she was a smart girl, lasted about a day with us, knew we hadn't found anything. except more trouble. And so she decided to go to Oregon. And because she felt that in Oregon she might find the answers to life. There you go. If that didn't work, she was headed up to British Columbia, you know. So anyway, Seattle. And so she got to, putting out her thumb, which was the cheapest mode of transportation in those days. And she got picked up hitchhiking by this couple, brand new, on fire, two-week-old, born-again, Gentile, ex-biker Christians. Who were now driving a car. And so they stopped and they said, "Where are you going?" And she said, "I'm somewhere in Oregon." They said, "Where?" She said, "It doesn't matter. I'm just looking for the truth." They said, "Get in the car. We'll take you." And they sped off. And the young woman who is the wife in the couple, who had never been to a Chosen People Ministries seminar on sensitive Jewish evangelism, turned around and said, "So, honey, are you saved?" And she said, the only thing a Jewish person could say, and that is, "From what?" We're not born with the lingo. We don't know. What does saved mean to an unsaved Jewish person? And so the woman said, "No, do you believe in Jesus?" That was clear. She said, "No, I'm Jewish." Now, that was supposed to end the conversation. But they didn't know it because they had only been saved for a couple of weeks. So they just barged ahead. And the woman said, "You're Jewish. We love the Jewish people. The Bible's Jewish. The Messiah's Jewish. Paul's Jewish. We love the Jewish people." About that time, Joan was trying to jump. Too much love. But she stayed in the car and 12 hours later got saved. She moved in with them to a Christian commune. A little kooky, but nice. I'm never going to go be invited back to chapel again. Anyway, so there was this group of Christians that that were odd, but they loved the Lord. And so Joan came down to share the gospel with me in Ephraim after a few months. And by this time, we had ripped down the houseboat. We were living in San Francisco in a three-bedroom apartment with 17 people. And rent was good. And so she knocked on the door. I opened it up, and there she was. I knew something was wrong immediately because hippie girls never wore makeup. And her hair was looking good. So I knew something wasn't right. And so she said, "Get Ephraim quick. I've got some good news." I thought obviously she found a new drug that I didn't know about. And she said, "Get Ephraim quick. Sit down. Really, really, really good news." I said, "What is it?" She said, "Get Ephraim." So Ephraim came in. We sat down. And I said, "What is it?" She said, "You're both going to hell." Now, I didn't believe in hell, so it didn't bother me. I just thought she was nuts. Obviously, she had taken one too many of something. And then she said, "But you don't have to go to hell if you believe in Jesus. And he's coming back any moment." She had a Bible in one hand and the late great planet Earth on the other hand. Some of you can appreciate that. And I said, "Joan, the hell thing doesn't bother me. But you can't be Jewish and believe in Jesus. You're a traitor. Our ancestors were killed in the Holocaust and the pogroms and the Inquisitions by Christians. How could you become a turncoat Christian?" And I looked at Ephraim for support. Poor guy had really done too much. He was sitting there saying, "Wow." Let me down. So the next day, they both went up to Oregon. He got saved. They began writing me letters, telling me about all these wonderful things. I went up to Oregon to straighten them out. And so I got up to Oregon, if you're from, I know, I made a mistake. Pronunciation, I'm New York, it's my second, English is my second language. So I got up to Oregon, Coos Bay, Oregon, and I was ready to kill. And they love bombed me. They fed me. They were so nice, I couldn't get into a good argument, which kills a New Yorker. And so finally, the old guy ran the place, who was a tugboat captain who looked like a cross between a Hasidic Jew and an Amish person. Really long beard. He said, "Mitch, just read it for yourself. You see, the thick part is yours." I said, "That's right. What are you doing with it?" I found out later the thin part was ours too. But so I began reading the Bible, and then one day I just said, "Lord, if you're really there, show me." That's a dangerous prayer. And so I went back down to this camp where I was teaching these kids, and I prayed, "God, show me." And then I prayed a prayer that's very important to Jewish people. And the prayer is, "How do I get to you? You know, is it through Moses? Is it through Judaism? Is it through what my other friends say, that Buddha and Krishna? Or is it, heaven forbid, Jesus? Because if so, I got to tell my mother, then I'm dead." Well, that night, to make a long story short, I went down to make a phone call with one of my kids in the phone booth about midnight. The kid wouldn't go to sleep. And so there on a ledge in the middle of the redwood forest, really glowing in the moonlight, but it was really glowing. It was glowing in the moonlight from the moonbeams. There was a copy of a book called Good News for Modern Man. And I looked at this strange little book, and it had kind of newspaper covering. It was kind of weird. And I started looking through it, and it said St. Matthew, St. Mark, and but I didn't know who they were. So I was kind of looking to see if St. Patrick was in there, because I know St. Patrick's Cathedral from New York. And then all of a sudden, I realized from, it has little stick figures and so on, I realized actually that it was a New Testament. Now I'm going to make a really long story short. I read it in 3 days, and I got saved. Now I'll tell you what did it for me. Somewhere as I was reading through it, I realized that Jesus wasn't Scandinavian. Lo and behold, it wasn't me against the Gentiles. It was me against a Jewish person who claimed to be the Messiah, who had transformed the lives of my friends and everybody else I met. And so 3 days after I found that New Testament, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I closed my eyes and said the prayer and expected that after I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I would then open my eyes and I would no longer be Jewish. Lo and behold, I've discovered that he is the fulfillment of all the hopes and dreams of the Jewish people. He is the Messiah, the Savior of Israel. And my prayer is that you will be the kind of Gentile believers that will be so in love with the Lord and so sensitive and loving and bold with Jewish people that God will use you to make Jewish people jealous. And no matter what field of endeavor you go into, as you graduate Asbury and go into all the world, wherever the Lord leads you, my prayer for you is that you'll remember the Jewish people wherever you go, and remember that God wants to use you to make Jewish people jealous. I got saved, went into the ministry. Ephraim got saved, he went into the ministry. Joan got saved, she went into the ministry with her husband in Israel. We then led a bunch of our friends to the Lord. I think that there are hundreds, maybe thousands of Jewish people who have come to faith through the people we led to the Lord, and even more through the people that we led to the Lord because they led people to the Lord. It all began with a Gentile Christian couple who made one 17-year-old Jewish girl jealous because they couldn't keep their mouth closed about the Jewish Savior that they loved with all their hearts. And I pray that you'll be those kinds of people. Now, would you take out your You Can Make a Difference brochure? Open it all the way up. Hey, you want to do this, I'm going to send you something free. This is good. Okay, so fold it along the perforation. At the count of three, we're all going to rip at the same time to demonstrate our unity in the Messiah. And we're going to count in Hebrew. So here we go. Ready? Echad, You're good at this. Shtayim. Shalosh. Rip. All right, well, we have people in different class years here and, you know, from different places. Keep this, but would you do me a favor right now where you're seated, fill this out. Just take out a pencil or a pen. You can't do this on your PDA or your laptop. So just take out a pencil or a pen, fill it out. I want to send you a free 100-page book on how to share the gospel with Jewish people. It's worth $10. And then we're going to try and raise a lot of money from you as students. Okay? No, we want to invest in your life. Honestly, we want to invest in your life and your future ministry, because I know I went to a Christian school. My daughter just graduated from a sister school, Biola, on the West Coast. And I know the kind of young people that I'm talking to. And I believe you're the cream of the crop. So we want to invest in your life as a Jewish ministry and help you share the gospel effectively with Jewish people. Fill this out. Ryan will be in the back, and or you can just leave it anywhere. Leave it on the ledges or whatever. We'll pick them all up, okay? Or there will be volunteers that Ryan will find. But just turn these in, fill it out, back in front, and then we'll send you a book on Jewish evangelism. I know you'll love it and appreciate it, because you'll want to serve the Lord and reach Jewish people with the gospel. It's always a joy to be at Asbury. Would you stand with me? I'd love to pronounce the Aaronic benediction for you. It will be in chanted traditionally in Hebrew and then in English. Now remember, to be good rabble-rousers with your short-term missions people here, I understand you have to do something in intercultural studies. Jewish people are intercultural. And if you want a good bagel, you'll definitely want a rabble-rouse, okay? So we've got ministries in Israel and New York City that are just waiting for your participation. So I hope that we'll be able to have some of you share in this. From number 6, Aaronic benediction, bow with me, please. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'nav alecha v'kunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua Mishachenu Sar Shalom. In the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Brothers and sisters, you're dismissed. Go in peace and serve the Lord.